My intent is to start the book of Revelation pretty soon. And whether that'll happen on a Sunday morning or if it'll be on an evening, I'm not sure. But regardless, for the next 3 weeks, we'll look at some topics. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and verse 13, it says, "And now abide faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love." And of course, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is that chapter that gives us a description of what love is and what it is to live without love. So over the next 3 weeks, we'll look at faith and hope and love. So this morning, we start with faith, and that's why Hebrews chapter 11. And I'll pray before we start here. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. This is the only solid ground that we can stand on, that we can build our lives on. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us to do that. And there is all kinds of confusion in the world today, and I pray, Lord, you'd help us navigate that confusion with faith in you, faith in your word. And this morning, I pray your spirit would work in our hearts with your word to lead us into truth and also how to apply that truth. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so the topic of faith, it's a word we use lots, and it doesn't hurt once in a while to just kind of go over what some of these things are that are so common to us that we might forget what they actually are in our lives. So my hope is to keep this simple. And because faith like a child, faith is not meant to be over complicated, I don't believe. Now, it doesn't mean it isn't something that's deep or has a lot to it. But at its core, I believe it is something it's not overly complicated. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, we're not going to go through the whole chapter. We'll look at, you know, select verses in the chapter. It's certainly a chapter that it explains faith, but the majority of the chapter really is examples of faith, people who live by faith, and it talks about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, Sarah, Rahab, Moses. I believe there's 17 people listed. There's many who are not. Many, many who you'd think would be chew-ins are not there. But this is a sampling of the people who live by faith. And it's interesting, some who are missing, Daniel, Elijah, some who are there, Rahab, just a short, you know, we get a glimpse of her in the Bible, and but there she is believing God and helping the spies in the promised land in Jericho escape, and she acted in faith. And so there's a wide range of what faith looked like in the specifics of all these people's lives, and I'll leave it with you to go through, and this would be a good thing to do, is to go through the chapter and have a look at some of these people and what they went through in their walk of faith, really obedience to the Lord in their lives. And with some of them, it's probably most of them, we see clear examples of faith. Yeah, we can also look and see They had examples in their lives where they did not live by faith. And there's a lesson on each side of that for us in what they went through when they didn't walk in faith, like, say, Abraham at times or David, and the times when they did walk by faith. And we see as we read this chapter out of the New Testament that that which they did by faith stood and still stands the test of time. So with Hebrews chapter 11, just a little bit of context, the first 10 chapters of the letter, the author is focused, you know, it's primarily on the doctrine as believers, where we are positionally, what Jesus has done for us. It's very much to the Jewish believers being drawn back into Judaism. So there's the holding up as Jesus as being the priest, the high priest, and all that old system is done with. So first 10 chapters really are going over, this is what we believe. This is what you are to remember you believe. This is what you are to believe. And now chapter 11, it's faith. And having done the correction in the first, correction and encouragement, in the first 10 chapters, the author, in chapter 11, I believe, he knew there would still be the draw to the old ways, back to the law, back to the sacrificial system. Just as we have the draw to whatever is around us, the world, the flesh, the draw back to what we were before Christ. The author knew this would be the case of the encouragement to walk by faith. So both the explanation of faith and the, hey, you're not the first one that's been called to walk by faith. Others have done this before you. So the first three verses of chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Note in the first verse right away the words substance and evidence. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. One thing faith is not is wishful thinking. There's some kind of faint hope. Faith is the substance and evidence of what is unseen. And that's simply what it is. Now, being simple, it's still, we go, well, when I think of substance and when I think of evidence, I think of things I can grab a hold of in my hand. I can grasp it, I can see it. Faith would not be faith if we could see and grasp physically that which we put our trust in, our faith in. And so it's very much a spiritual thing, faith. Now, faith can be otherwise. We can put our faith in things that we, our trust in things that we can see. We drive over a bridge in our car. We exhibit faith that it's not going to fall. And we're going to crash into whatever river or ravine that's under it. But here we're talking about faith that is putting my trust in something that I can't see with my eyes. But the author of Hebrews is saying faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So, or we could say, it probably says in your footnotes of your Bible, or it does mine, the realization of things hoped for, the confidence of things not seen. So, and those of you who have lived by faith long enough and taken steps of faith can probably, in hindsight, looking back, go, yeah, I took a step of faith where I could not see, and now looking back, I see. I see the evidence. The evidence is clear that the faith was well placed. So, the point here is there is something solid when we have faith in God and in His Word. So, the faith we're called to has a foundation, and it is in God. It is in His Word. And that's the difference between faith that's ill-placed and faith that we can have confidence in. It's really, where is the faith directed? And so when it's directed towards God's Word, to God Himself, we can have confidence. In Him. So to exercise faith is to take the Word of God and practice what it says, even when I can't see it immediately, when I'm not going to see the results perhaps immediately. And that's a struggle with the draw to the world or the flesh. Is usually it's some kind of shortcut to faith that says I can get what I want right now and I can see it. Rather than trusting God for what He wants or desires or His will for our lives. So when I say, or we say, I will obey because I trust God, that's faith. So faith is needed for what we can't see, what we can't touch. And I believe as our faith grows and our relationship with the Lord grows, and we start to understand more and more, it's less like, it may still be a challenge to exercise faith, but the question of whether God is faithful or trustworthy, we know more and more that He is. It doesn't mean every step of faith is still a step of faith. It's not necessarily easy. But each step of obedience, that is faith, builds our confidence in the Lord as we see Him faithful in our lives. Now, verse 3, it points to creation and the Word of God. I'm not going to elaborate on this morning, but there's creation, and God, by His Word, framed the universe. There is incredible power in the Word of God. And He took the unseen and made what is seen. And without getting into it, this is the problem I see with evolution, is it keeps coming back to how did something evolve out of nothing? How did that happen? Never mind the whole process afterwards. What about the start point? What was it that went bang? There's no answer for it. But God take what is unseen and make what is seen. And we have to trust Him in this. If He could deal with the universe, this world, create us, as much as everything related to us is very big, everything related to me seems very big in the whole scope of things, kind of small, the scope of the universe. And we can trust God with our lives. And that this really is at the core of faith. Can I trust God with my life? And I don't believe we get there in an instant, but the walk of faith is step by step we grow to that place. I'm going to skip down to verse 6. And the author, prior to 6, gives us a couple examples with Abel and Enoch. And then verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." It's pretty clear. It's impossible to please God without faith. Now, a couple things in that. First, we need a saving faith. Without this, none of it makes sense. A saving faith recognizes Jesus is the Son of God who died, rose again, and is in heaven at the right hand of the Father at this time. He died for my sin. He died for your sin. That's the gospel. And by the grace of God, we are saved through faith. And you know, it's not anything we did. It's God's grace. That's how we're saved. Through faith, through trusting him, that is true, that he is who he claims to be, we are saved. Now, as believing, because I was thinking about, there's the believing aspect. We must believe that he is God, that Jesus was worthy to die in our place, that the debt is paid. And so by faith we believe this. And then along with it, or it's all together, but along with it, there is a faith. By faith we take hold of this fact and receive it. So there's the facts. Some people reject it. No. I'm not going to accept Jesus. I don't believe it, or I'm not going to. But as we by faith take hold of this fact and receive it, we then begin the walk of faith, which is day by day trusting him as Lord. And so without faith, we cannot be reconciled to God. And as our text says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I read it again because it's just an awesome scripture to remember. We're called to a walk of faith, a life of faith. To please God, we must, one, believe that he is. So believe that he is God. And so it's that simple. Believe that he's God. That he is who he claims to be. Believe his word. Can't separate God's word from God. His word is his revelation of himself to us. With that, believing that he is, we must believe he rewards those who diligently seek him. So more than belief alone, it's the understanding that I am to seek God. We're to do that. We're to seek him. We're to learn about him. Grow closer in relationship to him. And this is something we have more benefits than the Old Testament believers, the elders referenced in verse 2. We have Jesus. We can see the grace of God that much more clearly. But we're to learn about him, his character, his thoughts, his command, really his word. Respond to the Holy Spirit's conviction and directing. Ask, pray to him, ask, listen for a response. That can be a hard part. And so with this idea of diligently seeking him, it's very much pointing, I believe, to the fact that faith realizes obedience to God is important. It's right. It also results in blessing. Part of the faith or trust part is that it doesn't feel like blessing sometimes. Look at chapter 11 here and look at what some of them went through. I'll just read, well, 35. So women received their dead raised to life again. Okay, that's good. However, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might attain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings, scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn in two, tempted, slain with the sword. And it goes on. These are the heroes of faith. Probably didn't feel like a lot of blessing at the moment. By faith, they stood on the ground that the Lord asked them to stand on, and they honored him. They believed that he is, that he was. So they believed he is God, and they believed they were to diligently seek him. They're all in the context of this chapter. So they are our example, the cloud of witnesses, as chapter 12 refers to them as. So very much with faith, we can look at the word trust. It's very much wrapped up in there. Faith is trusting God. This pleases him when we trust him. And on the other side, it displeases him when we don't trust him or when we act in unbelief as opposed to faith. So we really have the option of faith or unbelief. You know, not believing that he is capable of following through on his word. Not trusting enough to believe that I am to diligently seek him and obey him. So we have these options. And it's not a path of perfection. As we've talked about in the past, being sanctified, set apart, we are set apart. There is a process of living that out with its ups and downs. But if we are not diligently seeking the Lord through it, our success at being set apart and pleasing God in that sense of just living a life that honors and pleases him, it'll be difficult. So, trust him. Have faith in him. I love verse 6. I'll read it again. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for you comes to God must believe that he is. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligent. Make a practice of it. It's not perfection as much as it's consistency and perseverance. Getting up when we fall down and carrying on. Now, there certainly can be confusion around faith, and I won't get into it too much, but a couple things. One, faith is not belief alone. The demons believe. Satan believes. They know that God exists. They know Jesus. They know who Jesus is. They don't put their faith in him. Put their faith in themselves and it's a war. So faith includes belief, but it's not belief alone. It's belief combined with trust and submission. Some promote faith as I would describe it, not really understanding what they're thinking, but I would describe it promoting faith as a force to get our will done. Like, have enough faith and this will happen. Or, you know, the reason you're not getting what you want is you don't have enough faith. So you need more faith. And I think there's this can be this cycle of, you know, why don't I have enough faith? How can I have more faith? I just need more faith. And it becomes, in my view, a faith in faith. And the not my will, your Lord, but yours be done gets lost somewhere in there. And we can have all the faith in the world, but if it's a faith in our will instead of God's will, we've put our faith in something that is not worth having faith in. And so it's distressing, disturbing to see that kind of really doctrines or teachings out there. But for us, we need to have clarity. Faith is trusting God, God's will. And my will are not always the same thing. In fact, quite often they're quite different. That's why he's God and we are not. So faith has a recognition of this. He is God. His will is best. I'll trust him even when in the moment my will definitely seems better. And hopefully as we live life and we have the practice of making right decisions and wrong decisions in this area, having steps of faith and also steps of unbelief, we can start to see the track record of, okay, here's the evidences of what happens when I do things my way, and here's the evidences of what happens when I trust God. And we have the Bible to help us learn from other people's mistakes. So it's not a given that we have to make the colossal errors. But, you know, if we're wise, we'll look at God's word and go, yep, he's right. There's the examples, positive and negative, laid out for me right there. But it is a walk with its ups and downs. Much easier to see how someone else should have faith and trust God than it is ourselves sometimes. Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to jump there, the first couple verses. Before reading them, you know, chapter 11 has this great, as I've mentioned, list of people who, you know, they had at least moments. It was more than moments, but In the Bible, we see the moments where they chose faith, and it's encouraging to see. So this is a great list of people to have a look at and go, yeah, they are greatly honored to be mentioned to this day, thousands of years after they lived. And I think there's an encouragement here to, in it, when we look at some of them, we know they made colossal errors. David, Moses made some errors. Abraham, some really dumb decisions. And I'm not going to get into all those because we'd be here for a while if we went through all the mistakes they all made. But in this list, we see faith is something that's greatly honored by God, and he responds to, he rewards. He's also very gracious with our disobedience in forgiving us. Because these people made some terrible errors, some of them. Yet they are defined here by their faith. And so it's something to remember. It's not a license to disobey God by any means. There's consequences for that. But he does see and does remember our faith, our trust in him. So remember that when you're feeling down. Come back to the Lord, diligently seek him, look to act in faith from wherever you're at. So chapter 12, first couple of verses. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. So there's the call to run the race, live the life of faith. That which slows us down, hinders us, like either it's weights, things that just get in the way, or whether it's sin that trips us up. See those things as the Lord reveals them. Deal with them as he directs, so that we can run or live to the best of our ability. In verse 2, and this, I love this verse, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What a beautiful scripture, what a beautiful picture of, hey, here's the call, live a life of faith, and here's how. Look unto Jesus. He is the author, so the originator of your faith, and he's the finisher. He's the perfecter, is another word. So he is both of those things. And to have a real life of faith, we must look to him as being that one who is the author, the originator of our faith, and also the one that will see us finish in faith, in this life of faith, and the perfecter, the one who will help us grow. And we have all, there's different scriptures that point to this same thing of walking in the Spirit versus walking in the flesh, growing in our sanctification. We saw that a couple times in Thessalonians. And through all that, we must never forget that what was started by Christ at the cross, as he endured the cross, we can never carry on without him. And that this is, I believe, one of our greatest challenges, is we accept that which he did for us at the cross as a free gift. And sometimes we have our challenges in that. But even having done that, at times we try and proceed on our own. And we cannot do this and succeed. We have to keep coming back to him. Diligently seek him. See him as both the author and the finisher. If I'm going to finish well in this race, it will be by the grace of God and his help in my life. And he endured more than we ever will. As much as whatever might be hard, and there are hard things, there's tragic things, there's things, you know, we're at a loss to explain in this life in many ways, as to, you know, logically come up with the reasons for certain pain and suffering. But he suffered more. You know, we'll spend eternity in his presence as opposed to this blink of the eye that we spend here. That's a whole other thing that's hard to grasp and remember. Just we're a blip on the timeline compared to eternity in the presence of God. And faith matured can see that. And this is a challenge for us, I believe. Faith can see that. This is where I am. These are the circumstances I'm in. God is God. My home is heaven. I want to store treasure there, not here. All those kinds of things. But faith can see it. Without faith, there's no seeing that whatsoever. I was talking to a friend earlier this week, and he said something which I'll share with you. And he said, you know, as Christians, we tend to be, I'll put it this way, we tend to be guilty of looking at the world. And it's real easy now because we're bombarded. It comes from everywhere, and there's all the headlines and stuff. And we look at that, and we become guilty of looking at that, getting drawn into that, and we glance at Jesus for help. Which it's a good thing to turn our attention there, but it can be a glance. It's all the stuff in the world, and then a glance at Jesus. We are to look to Jesus, and I believe in that glance at the world. So our attention is Jesus. It's God's word. We live in the world. Yeah, we need to be aware of what's going on. We need to live as ambassadors, but we have to look to Jesus. And this is what we've been encouraged in our text this morning, and specifically this last verse, Hebrews 12:2. Look to Jesus. He is the author, and he's the finisher of our faith. And it's unfortunate that it's so easy, and there's so many avenues for the world's opinion to hit us over and over and over and over. And so we tend to get more of that than we do of Jesus. So that's the encouragement. Remember, look to him. He endured more than we ever will. He's at the right hand of the Father, and he will return soon, hopefully. But he'll return in the Father's time. And that'll be the right time. Don't worry if it'll be too soon or too late. It'll be the right time. Maybe we'll be the ones blessed to be raptured. I don't know. But let's make sure we're ready. So, wrapping up, faith, the focus is Jesus. Okay, it's not faith in faith, it's faith in Jesus. It's knowing that God is and that I am to diligently seek him. It's trusting him, that my sins are forgiven in him, I have eternal life through him. It's not my own works, not your own works. And we trust that he is God, that his word is right. And in faith, part of faith is the commitment to seek and obey the Lord. The men and women in chapter 11 were those who chose to believe God and obey in their situations. They're honored for it. And they are an example to us. They lived by faith and they had a hope in the future while they obeyed in the present. The hope will be next week. But there's a hope with faith. And it's a hope in God and his plan, his purpose, his abilities, not our own. These Old Testament believers here in Hebrews, their course was set by obedience to the Lord. Faith, not circumstances, which is sight. And so we are called to the same. To set a course, run a race, that is in obedience to the Lord. And that'll take exercising faith in him. Weigh the circumstance against God's counsel. seek to get his direction on how to live. And I'm not going to get into our times and what dominates the news, but we need the Lord's direction in this. And the questions really are, do you have a saving faith? This is the first and most important thing. Do we have a saving faith? Trust in Jesus alone for salvation, with the result of a walk of faith. They go, it's together. I would call a couple aspects of the same thing. A walk of faith, which is diligently seeking Him. So, that was a long way to say what verse 6 says. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's really, there it is. And 12:2, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Abide in Him. I'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. And I thank You that we have the Lord Jesus to look to, the author, the finisher of our faith. And when I think of my own faith and how it can seem weak, I take encouragement, Lord, because when I look at You, when we look at You, Lord Jesus, we see that You are worthy of all the faith, all the trust we can give You. And I thank You that what You started in us, You will finish as we continue to seek You. Lord, and I want to thank You for the time we live in. As much as I may not like aspects of it, I know, Lord, You are sovereign. I pray that we would know that You are sovereign. And we would be thankful for the opportunity to live where we do, and that we would respond to the challenges of life in faith, and respond to the blessings in life with faith, looking unto You, diligently seeking You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.